And we're always excited to see Kenneth and Sarah Lou. Thank you for coming. And now our teacher, Kenneth Lou.
You're up.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be here as we face Thanksgiving this Thursday. So it's nice to be in this service so that we can kind of talk about Thanksgiving. And my heart is full of thanksgiving because the Lord has answered our prayer. My beloved wife Sarah has had two cataract surgeries. The last one was on Thursday, and everything seems to be going well. It's still kind of adjusting itself. So she has no glasses on right now. She looks strange. Because the glasses is not only something to look through, but it's kind of like an ornament that you wear. Especially hers. Hers had blings on it, you know. So thank the Lord for his goodness and mercy to us both. Our text is taken from Luke chapter 17, from verses 11 through 19. Let me read it for you quickly. And it came to pass, as Jesus went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men. Yes. And they were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, and with a loud voice he glorified God. And he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And there are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger? And he said unto him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Rudyard Kipling was quite a writer in England, and he wrote for a newspaper, and he charged them 50 cents a word. And a group of cynical students at Oxford University sent him 50 cents and asked him to send them back his best word. And he then cabled back the word, thanks. How appropriate. How clever of him. He chose the right words. So it was Cicero who made the statement, thanksgiving is the greatest of all virtues. It is the parent of all virtues. And somebody remarked, gratitude is a mark of a noble soul. So today, in anticipation of a celebration of the great American Thanksgiving Day, we want to talk about Thanksgiving. And my message is simply titled, A Heart of Thanksgiving. And we see this and we observe this in the story that I just read to you. The story about the 10 lepers and the one Samaritan leper. 4 things that we observe here. First of all, we see the prelude to Thanksgiving. then the priority of thanksgiving, then the posture of thanksgiving, and then lastly, the path from thanksgiving. So first of all, the prelude to thanksgiving, we have the people involved here, 10 lepers. And they were in a sorry state of, because they were physically helpless, being afflicted with this thing called leprosy. And they were not able to engage in gainful employment because socially they were hapless, unhappy. They stood afar off, it says, from Jesus. Why? Because in those days we find that leprosy is shunned as far as the Old Testament is concerned. It's a type of sin. And we find that they were ostracized from society, kind of isolated, even from family members, friends, and everybody. They have to maintain a certain distance from people. And so we see a hopeless kind of a situation on the part of these lepers. Leprosy, in a way, depicts sin. A powerful verse in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. Let me quote. We are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind has taken us away. We are all as an unclean thing, all of us, like an unclean thing. And there is your image of leprosy, an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses, the best we can do, are as filthy rags. And the reference there is to the rags to abate the menstrual flow. That's the situation. And leprosy is there depicting as a kind of a sinful con. Because ceremonially, these lepers are indeed unclean. And they had to be cleansed. And then they had to visit the priest who will declare themselves clean. And so we see that these 10 people who were leprous people, they have a plea. They cry out to Jesus when they see him. Jesus, Lord, have mercy on us. Of course, the word mercy in the Old Testament is one of those million-dollar words. Mercy includes a whole bunch of blessings that come freely from the merciful and gracious heart of God. Have mercy on us. And the mercy here specifically is the healing of their leprous body. Have mercy on us. A cry for help, a desperate cry for deliverance from the disease of helplessness, haplessness, and hopelessness. And of course, Jesus answers their prayers. He had mercy on them. And he simply says, go, show yourselves to the priests. And they believed him that they would be healed. And so on the way to see the priest, we read in verse 14 and 15, it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. So here one of them recognized right away that he was healed. He saw that he was healed. And so this healing of his leprosy is the prelude for thanksgiving. And so with a loud voice, he gave praise to the Lord. He blessed the Lord. And here we come to the priority of thanksgiving. We find Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? In the sound of Jesus' voice, there is a certain dismay. He had an expectation that they will return back and thank him for this mercy that he has bestowed upon him. But only one came back. The 9 were not there. So Jesus was expecting some kind of a response of gratitude and thanksgiving. And his questions just reflects a deep feeling of disappointment. The 9 did not return to give thanks. And we find that there is priority in thanksgiving. Even Jesus himself demonstrated thanksgiving in the feeding of the 5,000, in the feeding of the 4,000. We find that in both occasions, he took the bread and the fish and he lifted it up to God, broke them, gave thanks, and then distributed them. So there was priority in the expectation of Jesus for thanksgiving. And so we see this priority throughout the scriptures. In the Old Testament, again and again, like a broken record, we are told to give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his court with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Psalm 106. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Psalm 107 repeats the same thing. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. Psalm 118, exactly the same words. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. And then Psalm 136, full of exhortation. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of God. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. That's the Old Testament, replete with exhortations for us to give thanks. Do you hear it? Do you get it by the time you hear all of that? Yes, God is expecting for us to come before him and to offer thanksgiving, to have this heart of thanksgiving. And we go to the New Testament. Yes, these are the words of grace in the New Testament. And we find we are exhorted and instructed in the New Testament to give thanks to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And finally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So the scriptures give tremendous priority to giving thanks. And we find that this priority is demonstrated in the leper's response. When he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. So acknowledging thanksgiving to God was more important for him than to continue going to the priest to be reconciled again to society. first things comes first. And so we find that he did the right thing, the priority of thanksgiving. And we cannot emphasize enough how important it is to have a heart of thanksgiving in our lives. What about the posture of thanksgiving? As we see demonstrated in this Samaritan leper, he glorified God with a soft voice. Oh, thank you, Jesus. No, he comes to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do you see enthusiasm in that? Do you see a robust proclamation of what is in his heart? He is just simply overwhelmed with excitement. He gives thanks to Jesus. And then not only that, but then he falls down on his face before Jesus and says, thank you, Jesus. So these are tangible ways in which he expressed his thanks. How appropriate can that be? And we do this in our daily lives. When somebody does a favor for us, we want to thank them. And just to say thank you may be not enough. So you write them a note. You send them an email. You buy a card, a thank you card, and you send it to them. And it was a big favor somebody did. You may want to buy them a little token gift to express your thanksgiving. So those are tangible ways in which we thank one another for things that happen in our lives. What about thanking God in tangible ways? How do you do that? Well, there's so many ways we can do that. Sure, the first thing is in our prayer. We pray to God and we thank him. The other way, more emphatic, would be to praise God. You say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. You give him praise. Or else you sing a song. And we do this in church a lot when we sing to the Lord. And there are churches, especially in those Pentecostal churches, they really whoop it up. They know how to dance. Yeah, I've been to a church in which in the part of their worship service, when they sang a song, the girls came out in fancy clothing and they danced before the Lord. And that impressed me that they are indeed in a tangible way expressing their feelings towards the Lord. Or we can give an offering to the Lord. Not a regular one, but increase it a little bit because of the gratitude of what God has been doing in our lives. And another way to give thanks to the Lord is engage in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. That is called the Eucharist. It is the Thanksgiving meal when Jesus thanked God for the bread, thanked the Lord for the wine, and they partook of it. And so each time we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are indeed in some tangible way expressing our thanks for Christ dying for us and for Christ shedding his blood on our behalf so that we can have salvation in him. That's the posture of thanksgiving. So let's not be boring in our expression to God about thanksgiving. Find creative ways, because your heart is so full of thanksgiving, you want to say it in different ways. And then the path leading from thanksgiving. Let's first of all look at the path of ingratitude, the failure to give thanks to God. This is a human problem. See, there were 9 of them that did not give thanks. So that's the majority. And so we find, as far as the world is concerned, thanksgiving is in short supply. A legend is told It's a medieval legend. Sometimes you can believe them, other times you question them, but they do speak to truth sometimes. And in this medieval legend, God sent down two angels to this earth. The one to collect the petitions of people, and then the other one to collect the thanksgiving of people. And so the angels came down to earth, and the one who was collecting petitions, oh, he had petitions galore. Everywhere there were petitions, and he gathered them. And pretty soon his bags were full, and he went back to heaven to report all of these petitions. The other one who was collecting thanksgiving had a hard time, spent several days looking for thanksgiving, and he barely got a few of them, and it's time to return back to heaven. He presented his report to God. We find here thanksgiving is difficult to find. It's a human problem. And when we read about the sinfulness of man in Romans chapter 1, what led to this kind of a moral depravity in the human race that necessitated the coming of Jesus to save us? It was not a collective rebellion against God with atheism, no. It says, first there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, it was because they did not have thankfulness to God. So there we see at the heart, it begins with ingratitude. So we find that what leads to this kind of an ingratitude? As far as the story is concerned, we find that there is one big factor. The most important lesson that the English writer G.K. Chesterton learned was that to take things for gratitude and not for granted. And we find that these nine lepers, they indeed were guilty of taking things for granted. You see the contrast. You have a Samaritan on the one side, and then you have these nine. In the contrast, we see that these nine were most likely Galilean Jews, real Jews, children of Abraham. And these nine were well acquainted with the Abrahamic covenant and the blessings that come because of that. And so they kind of felt they were healed. Why? Because they deserve to be healed. They are children of Abraham. And naturally it will come to them. And they felt well deserved. But as far as this Samaritan is concerned, Jesus, by contrast, called him a stranger. Yes, Samaritans were despised by the real Jews. And they are strangers from the covenant of Abraham. So he's new to this thing that happened to him. He wasn't expecting it. It is the pure mercy of God that he was blessed with. And therefore, he came back to give thanks to the Lord. But you notice one thing about the great mercy of God, and that is that these nine ungrateful Jews were still healed. Yeah. That's amazing. You know, God gives rain to the just and the unjust. It's pure grace. And that is the mercy of God. As high as the heaven is from the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. And do you can imagine how high heaven is from the earth, and how enormous indeed is the grace of God. But then notice this path of thanksgiving leads to a commendation given by the Lord Jesus Christ. The last verse, verse 19, and Jesus says to this Samaritan leper, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Yes. Your faith. What kind of a faith is this? Many scholars believe that this faith is salvific faith. It is faith for salvation. So that literally, that verse should have read, your faith has saved you. Salvation. So we find that the path of thanksgiving ultimately leads to the path of salvation itself. The other nine lepers, they were just satisfied with the gift. They were healed. But this lone leper, he was looking for the giver of the gift himself. It was A.W. Tozer who made the statement, quote, gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God, and it is one that the poorest of us can offer and not be poorer, but richer in having made it. So this Samaritan leper offered the sacrifice of thanksgiving and was made much richer. He was delivered from this helplessness, haplessness, and hopelessness. Yes, the leper was truly filled with a heart of thanksgiving. As the songwriter Esther Watanabe wrote one time, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. With hands lifted up and mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. So, if we don't have thanksgiving in our hearts, I think we should pray that God will give us that kind of a heart. A story is told about two men. They were walking in an open meadow in the fields. And as they were walking along, two of them, they saw a raging bull. And the bull was angry and he began to charge at them. They ran for the nearest fence. And one of them shouted, we're not going to make it. John, offer up a prayer to God. And John says, I don't know any public prayers. Do something. We are goners. And then he replied, the only prayer that I know that I can pray is what I heard my father pray at the table. Lord, for what we are about to receive, help us to be thankful. But more seriously, I am impressed with the prayer that George Herbert prayed. He's an English poet who died in 1633. And he prayed, thou hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a grateful heart. Not thankful when it pleases me, as if thy blessings had spare days, but such a heart whose pulse may be your praise. So may we all be filled with a heart of thanksgiving, not only for this Thanksgiving Day, but every day of our lives. Thank you, Lord. We are your children. You have made us your children. And for that, we are indeed thankful and grateful. And help us always, Lord, to have a heart of thanksgiving. You have given so much to us, even your only begotten Son, who died for our sins and offered us grace, mercy, peace, and the promise of eternal life. We pray this in his holy name. Amen. Thank you.